I can hear somebody now. Why are you singing that before the service? Romans chapter 9. Read the last verse with me. Romans chapter 9, verse 33. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Look at Romans 10, verse 11. Romans 10, verse 11. "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Not ashamed is the title of this message. Shame, being ashamed of something, means something that you think is offensive to you, and you just, that's a shame. It's a shame. Romans, the whole book of Romans, is a plain, clear declaration of who God is. Chapters 1 through 3 very clearly declare the utter depravity of man. Romans 1, or chapter 3, 2, clearly tell us that man is not a good creature. He's a sinner, a rebel against God. Clearly, Romans 1 through the whole book tells us of the election, the unconditional election of God of a people before the world began. It tells us very clearly of the particular or limited atonement which Christ made for His people on their behalf, for them, for their salvation of their soul. He did it, like Moses. He did it all. Romans clearly declares the irresistible grace and power and working of the Spirit of God upon God's chosen elect people. He will find them and they will believe the gospel. And it clearly tells of the perseverance, I said it right, the preservation of God's people. They're kept by the power of God. Romans, there's no book in the Bible that declares more plainly the truth that I just summed up in 5 points, like those 5 smooth stones of David. Any one of them will knock down this giant called unbelief. Paul began, Romans 1, go back there, Romans chapter 1. Paul begins in Romans 1, verse 16, by saying, you have it? Romans 1, 16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. The Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith," that is, from Abraham to the last believer, or Abel. "As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." See that? He talks about the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. "Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And he goes on to talk about God the Creator and men's rejection of Him. And then he goes all the way over here to Romans 9. And he says a great deal, doesn't it? Much is written when you get to Romans 9. The whole truth. And you get to Romans 9, the last verse says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And Paul started out by saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The power of God." He was ashamed at one time, wasn't he? He was an unbeliever. He was a Pharisee, a Hebrew, a Jew, good Jew, you know, keeping the law. Thought he knew God, didn't know God. He hated this gospel. He hated it. How can anybody believe that? And he went about to persecute. But God chose him. Why did he believe? God chose him. And now he preached. He said, "I preach the faith that I used to reject. I love it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God." All right, "he that believeth on him." Hebrews 11:6, verse 6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is." He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Is what? God. "He that believeth on God knows that God is God." God is God. We just read, talked about the righteousness of God, the wrath of God, the judgment of God, didn't it? The creation of God, God is our Creator. God made all things with His hands. Heaven's the work of His fingers. God, this is God's world. He made everything and everyone for His glory. Everything's according to God's will. He that believeth on Him, not ashamed of this. This, it's all according to God's will. It's all according to God's purpose. Everything that's happening right now is predestined and purposed by God. Do you believe that? You believe on Him. Not ashamed of that. Already, right now, if the world were to hear what I'm saying, it would just be fighting mad. This is God's creation. This is God's world. It's God's order. It's God's way. It's God's truth. It's God's choice. It's God's election of people. Salvation's of the Lord. Everything, everyone, everything is completely, totally up to the will and power and working of God. Are you ashamed of that? What would you be ashamed of your only hope? All right. Now, in this chapter, he talks about Abraham. He said, I chose Abraham. One man. One man out of Ur of the Chaldees. One. Didn't he? Why? Was Abraham called on him? Oh, no. He's an idolater. Heathen. But God. Chose this one man. All right? He brought this man. Revealed himself to him. He said, Abraham, I've chosen you. You're mine. I'm going to bless you and everyone in you. Who's a picture of Christ there, isn't it? My covenant is concerning you. Nobody else. You. Well, you can't do that. Well, he did. That's unfair. Ask Abraham if he thinks that's unfair. He'll tell you, I stand amazed that he would choose me. All right? Isaac. Abraham had two sons, one that he produced, named Ishmael. And God said, kick him out. Kick Ishmael out of here. He's not mine. Tough, wasn't it? Ishmael had no use for God. He didn't love God. He didn't care about God. God said, kick him out. Isaac's mine. I've chosen Isaac, son of promise, didn't he? That's what God said. Okay? All right? Then Isaac, before, he's going to have two sons. Before they were born, God said, I've chosen the second. I've set my love on the second. The elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob. Have I loved? But the older one, Esau, pick him out. He's not mine. Not mine. Is that unfair? Let's ask Jacob. Ask Esau. Esau, do you want God? No, I have no use for him. Don't you want the birthright, Esau? No, I'd rather have a bowl of beans. Not interested in God. I'd rather get my belly filled. You can have that God stuff. Give it to Jacob. He wants it. Right? That's what he did. That's what happened. But God said to Jacob, well, who's Jacob? He's no better than Esau. He's born just like him. Didn't know God at all. I may say but God in the course of this message 100 times. Jacob was on his way running scared of poor little mama's boy. Didn't need God. Didn't want God. Wasn't calling on God. But God found him. Brother Mac, he found him lying on a stone and took hold of him, buddy, and said, you're mine, Jacob. You're mine from here on out. I bought you. I brought you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to bring you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to my covenant with you, Jacob. I set my love upon you. You're mine forever. Was Jacob a sinner? Did Jacob stay faithful and true all the rest of the time? No, he lived a pretty miserable life.
But God.
Ask Jacob if he's ashamed of sovereign election grace. Ask him. Sovereign love. Ask him. Jacob, what do you think about God not loving everybody? I don't see how he could. I sure don't see how he could love me. Oh, I'm not ashamed. Ashamed? How glorious. I'm not ashamed of election. I glory in the fact that God would choose me. Ask anybody that knows anything about themselves. Knows anything about God. Are you ashamed of this gospel? Oh, no. He that believeth on Him, that God is God. It's His right, His will. Jeremiah 31. Go over to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Go over there. God said, Jacob have I loved. Jacob wasn't offended. Jacob wasn't ashamed. Glory. Oh, how he loved sovereign mercy. I bet you if he was in a worship service, he'd say, preach Romans 9 again. Preach it next Sunday. Jacob, tell me how Jacob, God said he loved Jacob. That's what all sinners tell me. You know, Jacob wasn't ashamed of the truth, he's ashamed of himself. Do you know who's not ashamed of this gospel? Those that are ashamed of themselves. Jeremiah 31, verse 18. Jeremiah 31. I've heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. Thus, thou hast chastised me, I was chastised as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord, my God. Surely, after I was turned, I repented, or I wouldn't have. And after that, I was instructed, I smote on my thigh, and I was ashamed. He had no shame before. You have that, Jeremiah 31, verse 19? He had no shame before. He wasn't repenting before.
But God came to him and said,
I gave you up for a while to your idols. I let you have your way. But now, you're mine. I can't give you up, Ephraim. I've chosen you. And I'm not going to give up on you. You're mine. You're coming. And so, old Ephraim, I shame myself. Ask Ephraim if he's ashamed of God's truth, of God's sovereign mercy. Ask him. He'll tell you, ashamed. I'm ashamed of myself. Go to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. Well, if you don't know these passages, I hope you'll know them in a minute. Ezekiel 16 is the story of that girl born thrown out in the field. This is a picture of all of us by nature. Yes, all of it. Look at verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. He didn't say, go tell Jerusalem how much I love her. Tell her
she's an abomination to my sight.
And he goes on to say, your birth, your nativity, land of Canaan, your father an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. In other words, you're just a heathen. Your nativity, the day you were born, your navel was not cut, neither were you washed in water to supple thee. You were not salted at all or swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, have compassion upon thee. Cast out into the field, open field to the loathing of thy person, the day that you were born. Loathsome. Oh, no, preacher. These little babies are innocent. That's not what God said. David, in Psalm 51, did he not say,
in sin did my mother conceive me.
I was born altogether born in sin. Pharisees one time said that to that blind man, didn't they? They said, you are altogether born in sin. We be not sinners. You're born in sin. Wait and see who Christ came to. The man that loathed himself. All right. Read on. Ezekiel 16. Then when I passed by you, verse 6, I saw thee, polluted in your own blood. I said unto thee, when you were in your blood, live. Yea, I said, I spoke when you were in your blood, live. Christ said, I am come that they might have life, not offer life, give life, like he said to Lazarus. Come forth. He said that to you one day, didn't he, brother? He said that to me one day. He didn't ask me. He told me. I came. Live. You don't offer life. You give it. And it's not in the power of any human being to give life. You believe that? Wow. Look at verse 8. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, see salvation of the Lord, behold, thy time was a time of love. Whose love? His love. He set his love on this child. There could have been others. There were others. But he chose this one. I spread my skirt over thee. What's that? That's the righteousness of Christ. Covered thy nakedness. Remember that. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee. Could that child agree to anything? No, it's a baby. He did it all. Saith the Lord, you became mine. I washed you with water. I washed away your blood from you. I anointed thee with oil. That's the Spirit of God. All this is the blood of Christ, the Spirit of God. He did it all, didn't he? I did it all. I clothed thee with broidered work, shod you with the gospel, girded you with the truth, covered you with silk. I decked you with ornaments, gold and silver and precious stone, bracelets on your hand, chain on your neck, jewel on thy forehead, earrings in thy ear, a bond slave of mine, a crown upon your head, decked you with gold and silver, gave you food to eat. You're in my kingdom now, verse 14. Your beauty is mine. Perfect through my comeliness, I put upon you. I did it all, saith the Lord. Are you ashamed of that? Some of you have a story to tell about when the Lord found you in the pit in which you were digged. Huh? Are you ashamed of that? Do you have anything in your past? I'm talking about your past. Where he found you. Are you ashamed of that? Aren't you glad he's not ashamed to call you brethren? Now, if he's so merciful and so gracious, set his sovereign love upon you, how could anybody? Can't. Nobody who's known mercy or experience could ever be ashamed of this gospel. Can't do it. You can't do it. You don't know God if you're ashamed of this gospel. If you don't believe this God and this Christ, and that you were dead and no good and rotten and filthy and abominable in God's sight, and it took the sovereign electing mercy and grace and love of God to set upon you, and you didn't deserve it. You deserved to go to hell. But God chose you and didn't choose somebody else. He didn't need to, didn't have to, shouldn't have, but he did. He chose you. If you don't believe that, you don't know God. You don't know God. Is that too plain? Paul said, I am not ashamed of this gospel. And whoever is ashamed, Christ didn't die for them. I'm not ashamed. Ephraim was ashamed of himself. A child, you know what that child did? Look at here in Ezekiel 16. You know what this child did? There's so much I wanted you to read. She played the harlot. Verse 15, she trusted her own beauty. Oh, my. She went out after everybody and everything in the world. She went out after other lovers. After all he did for her, she went out in the world and gave herself and sold herself to everybody and everything. Whew. But God. Look at verse 60. Verse 60. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy way and be ashamed. Like Ezekiel 36. I'm going to give you a new heart, I'll give you new my whole spirit. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to do all this for you. And you're going to loathe yourself. And you're going to love God's sovereign mercy. Now, you understand that only sinners like this need mercy. And if you're a real sinner, it's sovereign mercy. Because a holy God, the holy God can't love an out-and-out sinner. You've got to make them righteous. Right? He loveth righteousness. Romans 9. Go back to Romans 9. Let me hurry. Romans 9. Look at verse 19. Thou wilt say then, why doth he yet find fault? Who hath resisted his will? If everything is according to his will. He said, I will, I will, I will. It's not of him that willeth. I will have mercy on whom I will. I have compassion on whom I will. I will choose whom I will. I will. Then if everything's according to his will, then we can't resist his will. How can he hold us accountable? Isn't that what they're asking? Or not arguing? Isn't that what they're saying? How can he hold us accountable if we can't resist his will? How does Paul answer it?
You reply against God? He doesn't argue with him, does he, Brother John?
He doesn't argue with it. And, you know, I've used this statement before, and other men have, long before me. If salvation were an offer, go ahead, offer a sovereign, holy, righteous God to men. And tell them about the Jews. Christ came to the Jews, said, salvation's free. Then, come unto me. All you labored, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Not the law. Not keeping the law. You can't keep the law. It's all up to me. Come unto me. What? What? Is that unfair? Come unto me. Forget trying to keep the law. You can't. What'd they do? We like the law. We're fine without you. That's what man, offer it to him. Offer him a choice. You know what he'll choose? Evil. His own righteousness. That's what Romans 10 is about. And that's what Romans 10 goes on to say. I bear him record to have a zeal for God. No, but it's not for his glory. They've got their own righteousness of trying to hold up before people. They're whited sepulcher. Not knowing their righteousness is filthy rags. And if you tell them that, they'll get angry at you. But now, he that believeth on him, who is naked, and finds out Christ clothed him, oh, he's not ashamed of this gospel. No, he's not ashamed of sovereign mercy. He's not ashamed of righteousness imputed. He knows his only hope, his only plea. He renounces all that. And the Lord came to a man named Nicodemus, remember? Or had him come to him. Come. Nicodemus argued. The Lord said, he said to him, you must be born again. You must be born again. Well, sovereign Lord, sovereign election. He said to many of these Jews in chapter 9, verse 24. He said to us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but Gentiles. He said in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and beloved, which were not beloved. And it'll come to pass in the place where they said unto them, you're not my people. God say, you're my people. That is to a bunch of no good, unbelieving, heathen Gentiles. Let me give you an example. Jericho. City of Jericho was in Israel. Did you know that? You might think Jericho was it was in Israel. Supposed to be good Jews in there. Well, Joshua sent word, I'm going to wipe this place out. Everybody in it. That's what he said. Joshua sent word, I'm going to destroy everybody in this decadent, worthless, godless, filthy place called Jericho. It's coming down. Not one stone going to be left standing on another. But Joshua sent two spies. Two men with his message, with his truth. Where did he send them? To a harlot. A what? A harlot. A woman named Rahab. Go into her house. She'll receive this. She'll fear God. She believes God. She believes she deserves to be destroyed with the rest of the city. Go in there and tell her, I'm sent to you. Tell her, Joshua is giving you a sure token that you belong to him. Look, there it is. A scarlet line. What's that doing there? Put it in the window. And when I come, Joshua said, I'm taking you out. You and your house and everybody's under that scarlet line. What's that? The blood of Jesus Christ. Well, Rahab said, me? Really? Me? And they left. And they didn't come back for months. Maybe years. All that time, Rahab's waiting. She's looking. She's checking the line. That's her lifeline. The blood's still there?
Always has been. Before the Lord.
One day, the trumpet sounded loud. And everybody in Jericho, whoa, what is that noise? And Rahab said, listen to that. My redemption's here. Joshua has come for me. A harlot. A no good. He said he'd come. He's come. Listen to that. Isn't that music to your ears? No, we hate that. Oh, I love it. And you know what happened? Those same men, the truth, the gospel, came in, picked her up, Kelly. Took her out down that line. Took her all the way to Joshua. You know what the scripture says? She's still there now. She's there right now. What's she doing? Praising God for sovereign electing mercy and grace. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, for sending His Spirit, His gospel, His word, to call her out of darkness into light, to pluck her as a brand from the burning, for choosing her and bringing her out and carrying her all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? And you know what? That woman was in the Lord's line, in His lineage. That's His great, 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 great grandmother. You think Rahab's ashamed of sovereign grace? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Rahab the harlot. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus. That same Lord who sent Joshua came to Jericho 1,000 years later. You know that? He came to Jericho, Jesus Christ. You know what he did? On the way into Jericho. Because he said long before this, Brother Kelly, he said, curse that city. Cursed is that city. Whoever builds that city, curse it. On the way into Jericho, there's a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Stop. Bring him to me. Opened his eyes. Clothed him with a new garment. Went all the way through Jericho, didn't stop for a moment, didn't save one person. Not one person. On the way out of town. He went through Jericho on the way out of town. He had somebody plant a sycamore tree 1,000 years or 100 years earlier. Just so he could put a fellow up that tree. Named Zacchaeus, a publican. And Christ is walking out. He knew exactly where he was. He put him there. Put him up a tree on purpose. And he came by that tree that day and looked up. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. Why?
The son of Abraham.
Mighty elect. I've come for you. You like that? You ashamed of that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The power of God unto my salvation. The wisdom of God, the glory of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came. And he said, let me close with this. Mark chapter 8. I want you to read this with me. Mark chapter 8, and I'll close. Mark chapter 8. You have it? Our Lord said this. Oh, I was going to have you turn to me. I love this. I love what we're doing here, don't you? I love this gospel. Love His people. Love His worship. Mark chapter 8, our Lord said in verse 38, He said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation." God calls this world, this untoward generation, He calls it this present evil world. That's what He called it. And He's about done with it. And He says, "Whosoever is ashamed of Me in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angel." And you know, brothers and sisters, it's a sad time, isn't it? No fear of God. Yet it's a joyful time. We still have the gospel here. The same gospel that Rahab heard. Consider the foolishness of man, how that he's not ashamed of that which he should be ashamed of. And he's ashamed of that which he should not be. He glories in his shame. This plague going on that God has sent, clearly because of sin, judgment, and wrath. At the same time, they have a big parade marching about with pride. Homosexual and sodomite, proud. Marching proud. Not ashamed. Unashamed. Jeremiah 6 says, were they at all ashamed? He said, no, they wouldn't even blush. Isaiah 2 says, no, they're not ashamed. They declare their sin like Sodom. Proud. It's no wonder to us that God's going to be done with this place, isn't it? It's shameful, isn't it? It's shameful. And here's the amazing thing is, such were some of you.
Amen. But God chose you. Ashamed. Ashamed. Ashamed.
How could anybody be ashamed? Huh? You must not be a sinner. Oh, Lord. That song, "Ashamed of the Lord Jesus, yes I may, but I've no sins to wash away, no guilt to put away." We're going to be singing throughout eternity, "Him that loved us, washed us, and chose us in His own precious blood. Unto Him, unto Him, unto Him. Unworthy." All right, Brother John, you come. 2:35. 2:35. Rahab could have sung this. Pass me not. 2:35.